And on today's Windy City CareerCast, Stephanie Brill is with me talking about the transgender child. It's a new handbook for families and professionals. And who better than my co-host, Alexandra Billings, to make this extremely personal and talk about the transgender experience. It's a really great show. I can't wait for you to listen.
Windy City CareerCast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queercast.
Windy City Queercast.
Windy City Queercast.
Windy City Queercast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Alexandra Benz.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This Queercast is brought to you in part by
Bud Light. Bud Light keeps it coming.
American Airlines, offering the GLBT community exciting vacation packages online at aa.com/rainbow.
And by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com.
Listening to the Windy City CareerCast show number 221. We're going to be on 227. Wasn't that the show that I used to love with Jack A? I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Alexandra Billings. I sang my name because I wanted to.
You did sing your name.
Yes, I did.
Are you smoking?
I am, but don't say that over the radio. People will think it's cool, and it's not. It's stupid. It's a horrible habit.
When are you stopping?
What?
When are you stopping?
I need to quit. I was just talking to my girlfriend, Heather, last night about that very thing. And I said, I need to quit. And she said, why don't you? And I said, well, because I'll probably have to dive into the ocean head first.
Yeah.
The thought of it scares me. You know, I'm a recovering addict. I gave up heroin and cocaine and alcohol and all kinds of things. And the only and I had a sponsor at the time that said to me, when I was smoking, I said, oh, well, I should probably quit the nicotine. And she said, listen, she's big old heavy lesbian, you know, just lesbianese through and through. She said, listen, kid. She called me kid. Listen, because she was 150. Listen, kid, you gave up all that other stuff. Keep smoking. It'll keep you sober. So now I'm stuck smoking.
You smoke those little girly cigarettes, too, so you hardly smoke.
I'm very girly.
You are very girly.
Oh, pardon me.
People look at you like you're an outcast when you smoke now. You understand this. I haven't had a cigarette in 2.5 years.
Good for you.
It's true.
That's great, Amy.
It's
Seriously, crazy.
And now I don't have the weight that I had the first 6 months. You know, I've kind of lost that.
Oh, you gained weight, you mean?
Yeah. It's inevitable, isn't it? You stop smoking, you gain weight.
I guess so. That's what I've heard. I've never quit. Well, that's not true. I quit for 1.5 years, and I was such a bitch to everyone. One of the people I was in a show with bought me a carton of cigarettes and said, here, smoke this before we kill you.
Before we kill you. Yeah. No, because something has to go in your mouth. And I believe
– I beg your pardon.
I wasn't having a lot of sex at the time. And so I just took a water bottle and would suck on it every time I wanted a cigarette.
Oh, God. Language.
I'm just saying.
Well, you gotta have something in your mouth. That says a lot about you.
Well,
doesn't it?
No. It's the oral fixation. You know, they say that men are more addicted to actually the nicotine and that women are more addicted to the habit.
They are more.
Who says that?
This is a study that I heard.
Oh, what study?
Well, I think it's really true because I tried to stop with the patch. And when I started up again, because inevitably I did every time I'd try to stop, and I smoked more because I had more constant nicotine in my body. And, you know, I didn't have nicotine in my man, you have to take those things off to sleep, too, because you will have some fucked up dreams, let me tell you.
Really? Ooh.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I've never tried one of those things. They scare me.
Yeah, they should. They get you more addicted. We're obviously not going to get any nicotine patch sponsors for our Queercast, but they are addictive things.
I don't want those things.
No.
They always reminded me of the Nazi movement for some reason. I just don't. I'm terrified I'm going to wake up goose walking. It scares me. I want it. Don't want it.
Are you celebrating Gay Pride?
Gay Pride this weekend? I celebrate that every day, darling.
I do too. I don't need a parade. Every day is my big Gay Pride parade.
Listen, in the town, in the Republican town that Chrisanne and I live in, just walking down the street, we are the Gay Pride Parade.
What do you mean you live in a Republican town?
We do, Amy. Listen, we live in a small, itty-bitty, I don't want to say the name of it, but we live in a small, itty-bitty Republican town. Yeah.
In California?
Oh, yeah. Oh my dear.
Well, it's not Los Angeles, and it's not West Hollywood, so that's not where you are.
No, I don't live in either of those. No, but it's, yeah.
Silver
but they're
Lake
very
or whatever
nice,
that is.
These people. Very nice. Lovely people.
Yeah.
Especially everyone at the grain and feed store.
Mm.
That's right. Grain and feed store.
Grain and feed. So do you think that they know you're transgender?
Well, you know how I feel about that. I always think that everybody knows. I just sort of assume that that's true. I just sort of assume that everybody knows. That way I don't have to really deal with anything.
Do they know you're y'all are lesbians?
Yes, that they know for sure.
And they're okay with you all being the farm girl grain and feed mascot lesbians for the town?
They are. They like that. Well, we're sort of the city. We're sort of from, they consider us from the big city. Like one time we went into the grain and feed store. We weren't getting grain and feed. I forget why we were there. But we went into the grain.
You were getting hoof and tail shampoo.
That's right, because it was somebody's turn to dress up, not mine.
And some udder cream.
That's correct.
You should try udder cream. It really is amazing for your skin.
Ever want that on my face. So anyway, we were at the grain and feed store and this girl behind the counter who was probably 17 or 18 years old looked at me and she goes, oh, I recognize you. I know you. And I said, you do? She goes, yeah, you were on TV. And I said, oh, well, yeah, I was. So ever since then, it's like I'm Meryl Streep. We go into the local, the Salt and Pepper, that fabulous diner that's sort of in and around Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
We have sort of the equal to it down here where we live in our little Republican town. So every time we go there, they give us like the best booth, the booth that doesn't wiggle. They give us that one.
Have you given them your headshot yet and signed it?
I haven't, but I have a feeling that's coming. They just think I'm tops.
You're Meryl Streep, so... I'd like to be yours and Meryl Streep's love child. That would be like the best offspring. Though you two would be the best parents in the world to have.
Oh, I wouldn't. I don't know. I think I'm a little selfish to be a parent, Amy.
That's okay. I really don't want a parent. You'd be good. You'd be entertaining. Okay.
Do you think?
I don't know.
All right.
We'll find out. Hey, this is all leading me into our conversation today. I had a great interview, which we're going to have on the show here. In a little bit, we're going to break and do the news. But today we're going to be talking about The Transgender Child. It's a new book, The Transgender Child, a handbook for families and professionals. And it's going to be great because actually, Alex, I'm really fascinated to talk with you a little bit about your experience. And so let's do some news and then we'll come back and we'll do some talking.
Do it.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Rolling Cooler Cooler Roller.
Mr. Rolling Cooler Cooler Roller.
Only you understand the best way to carry 9 ounces of macaroni salad is in a 43-pound cooler.
It's got wheels.
Part cooler, part luggage. It holds enough for an afternoon picnic, a tailgate party, or a 12-day trip to Istanbul.
I'm gonna have to check that.
Perfect for the man who has everything. Everything except a friend to help carry a cooler.
Unpopular.
So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, oh hauler of the hot dogs. You'll find it right under the sub sandwich, the potato salad, and the giant tub of baked beans.
Mr. Rolling Coola Coola Road.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is The Week in News. Oregon Republican Senator Gordon Smith apologized for comparing gay marriage to polygamy during a gay rights forum in Washington, D.C. The lawmaker said he was sorry for his confusing comments, linking the debate over gay marriage to the persecution of his Mormon ancestors for the practice of polygamy. I meant no offense by sharing that part of my history, Smith said.
Washington Times columnist Wes Pruden recently called AIDS the gift of the gays and downplayed the serious impact the virus has had worldwide. In a recent column, Pruden wrote, "We were all supposed to be dead now, done in by AIDS, the gift of the gays. After that, it was SARS, bequeathed to the world by China. Then it was avian flu, which, to be fair to the alarmists, did in fact result in the death of millions. The millions were all chickens, true, but chickens have feelings too. In fact, the virus has killed millions. The United Nations estimates that over 2 million people have died from AIDS-related illnesses worldwide each year since 2003.
Service Members Legal Defense Network are calling President Bush's pick for the Presidential Medal of Freedom outrageous, insensitive, and disrespectful to lesbian and gay troops currently serving in the armed forces. Bush awarded General Peter Pace, former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, the Presidential Medal of Freedom, which is the highest civilian award, on June 19th. Last year, in an interview with the Chicago Tribune, Pace called gays immoral.
HRC is calling for an investigation of police brutality against a Memphis transgender woman. A recently released video shows Dwana Johnson, who was arrested on a charge of prostitution, being beaten by a police officer and maced while another officer held her down at Shelby County Criminal Justice Center. In HRC's statement, Joe Solomonese confirmed, "This type of profound violence is the exact thing that police officers are supposed to protect people from." The National Gay Rights Organization is calling for a full criminal investigation of the police brutality case.
A famous Turkish trans singer is facing jail time for comments she made on a television show about the military. Bülent Ersoy, who is famous in Turkey, has been charged with attempting to turn the public against military service for implying that Turkey's army operation against Kurdish separatists in Iraq isn't necessary on a show similar to American Idol. The 56-year-old singer could get up to 4 years in prison.
Apparently, Pamela Anderson's choice of men is so poor, her mother wishes she was gay. The former Baywatch star admitted, "Lately, my mother has said, I wish you were gay considering your choice of men." Among Anderson's list of exes, rocker Tommy Lee, Kid Rock, Rick Solomon. Also, Anderson said that she can't seem to get rid of ex Tommy Lee. Their relationship has been on again, off again for years.
Queens of the Stone Age lead singer, Josh Homme, in an open letter, basically refused to apologize for saying the F-word to a concertgoer because he doesn't consider himself to be a homophobe. "My gay family and friends, as well as myself, know that I am not a homophobe," he wrote. "For years now, I've known gay is not by choice. One's skin color doesn't determine one's intelligence level, and red hair doesn't mean you're someone's stepchild," he continued. "You see, it's not the words, it's their intent. I never said nor suggested that being gay is wrong, but apparently, based on your outrage to my flu-infused rant, you do."
Pop star and GLBT ally Cyndi Lauper will make an appearance performing her hit song True Colors on the July 3rd episode of CBS's As the World Turns. During the show, she will act and sing, promote her new album, while also supporting the storyline between characters Luke and Noah, who recently broke up on the show. Aww.
And that's The Week in News, brought to you by Windy City Times.
Welcome to Camp Camp,
America's premier summer camp for GLBT adults. Dozens of daily activities like swimming, softball, and tennis. And special evening programs every night.
The tea dance was a lot of fun.
I love the barn dance. That's my favorite part of camp.
The talent show. I absolutely love the talent show.
Remember when summer was the best time ever?
Well, it still is.
Camp Camp.
August 24th through the 31st. Visit campcamp.com.
Hi there, this is Deb Pierce reminding you it's okay. Go ahead. You're not alone. Post a comment.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club.
Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Queer.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of June 23rd, 2008, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
Writers Theater presents The Lion in Winter by James Goldman, directed by Rick Snyder. The Wall Street Journal calls it one of the finest shows in recent seasons, not just in Chicagoland, but in all of America. And the Chicago Tribune calls it a juicy revival. For tickets and more about The Lion in Winter, log on to writerstheater.org.
Now playing at Steppenwolf in the Upstairs Theater, Dead Man's Cell Phone by Sarah Rule. The Reader says it's a hilarious and delightful, and the Tribune calls it fearless and surreal. Dead Man's Cell Phone, a quirky modern adventure about a long-distance journey into the mysteries of life. For tickets, visit steppenwolf.org.
For more Culture Club, visit windycitytimes.com.
The critics call it a blockbuster, a phenomenon, a show that makes you laugh, cry, and think. Audiences call it the most thrillifying theatrical experience of a lifetime. Now, at Chicago's Ford Center Oriental Theater, you can discover for yourself that everything you've heard about Wicked is true. Wicked, the untold story of the Witches of Oz, the musical that changed Chicago for good.
Boss's favorite team, the Wizard and Lamb.
Are you ready to meet the Wizard? Call Ticketmaster.com today.
Hey guys, this is Miss Cleo. I want you to listen to Windy City Queer Cast.
You're out of the office, you don't return my call. You're missing at the gym, no one's seen you around at all. Used to see you every weekend, all the time that we spend. Partners in crime, having us a time. We used to have benefits, but that was the end of it. Since you got your new boyfriend,
I heard all about your new stupid boyfriend. Yada, yada, yada.
I did this interview, and really, you should have probably done this interview, but I'm glad you're going to get to hear it, with this brilliant woman, Stephanie Brill, who has written this book with Rachel Pepper, and their background is strongly in gender variant, transgender children, resources, education, training to create more gender-sensitive environments, and educational systems. And really, this is the first book of its kind that has interviews and research and guidance for parents and healthcare professionals and people in the educational system on how to nurture gender variant or trans children. And, you know, as a trans activist and person of the community, I'm kind of curious. I mean, what was your story? I mean, how early did you identify? I mean, were you early on saying, I'm a girl, I'm a girl, I'm a girl? What is your story from that early, you know, I'm talking like five, you know, she said 3 to 5, 5 to 7. It's very applicable that you can, you know, judge what's going on with the child.
Yeah, absolutely. I knew from the day I can remember, from the first minute I remembered that there was a difference between boys and girls, I knew which side I was on immediately. Hmm. I mean, I was a girl. That was never a question for me. Never. So absolutely. I think it's brilliant that there's a book out like that. But yeah, absolutely. It was you know, I always equate it with, you know, if I were to ask you, how long have you known you were female? It's the same thing for me. And I probably would guess, and I can't speak for every transgendered person. I'm not sort of the Yoda of the transgender community. But
yes, you are.
Am I really? I'm the Yoda.
That's why I selected you.
Yes, you did. Did you know, girl, you were?
I am filled with impersonations. Who knew?
You are.
Walter Cronkite, Yoda. I
also have you on here because of that.
I'm I'm amazing. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, you have to just ask yourself that. Well, gee, how long have I known I was female, or how long have I known I was male? It's the same for us. We knew. We always knew.
Yeah.
Always.
But if you knew, when did you understand that there was a discrepancy? Was it coming from without? Was it coming from your parents going, you're a boy, you're a boy, go play sports, go be a boy? Or where was the discrepancy for you? Because if you ask me that question, I go, I was a girl. I didn't really love dolls. I liked to, you know, bat around the tennis, but I was really into ballet. And so I really wanted dresses with lots of ruffles and bells. So I don't even fall into the gender variant category that I think a lot of lesbians do. Mm-hmm. Of, you know, there, I was a bit athletic, but I would not have called myself a tomboy at all. So when is the discrepancy for you of, okay, this is what I am, but this isn't how I'm seen?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what
I think that, absolutely. I think that, yeah, it's actually a very intelligent question. I think that then you're talking about environment versus spirituality. If for me, you're talking about sitting around your house and noticing that other people in your universe act a certain way. And what I mean is this: you know that when your mom and dad come home, your dad usually opens the door for your mom, and they come in and your dad takes your mom's coat off. I'm generalizing here.
Sure.
You know that there are certain gender roles that are to be played. And so for me, as I saw these images, and of course on television as well, and then you go out into the world and those roles are assigned to each gender. Boys do this, girls do that, generally. And so when I went out into the world, I knew who I always knew who I was, but I also knew that everybody saw the facade, which was this outer casing, sort of. And so they naturally said, well, you come over here and play football. You come over here and, you know, you have to open the door for this person. You come over here, you have all the power. That was the really interesting thing, Amy, is that because I'm a male to female transsexual, is that when I began to transition, I lost a lot of power in the world. Mm. I lost a lot of my rights. And this is something that's very difficult to get across to men. Women understand this, but men do not. And I also believe that it's a lot more aggravating to men because they still believe that it's a choice. And they always think to themselves, my God, you had the penis. You had the power. You rule the world. You rule the world, and you gave that up. And what we can't seem to get across to them is, yeah, but you don't understand. It's not like I decided, you know, do I want to transition, or do I want to do my nails?
Yeah.
I had no choice. I either did this or I would die.
Yeah.
So in answer to your question, for me, it was about outside images. Yeah. I knew in order for me to function in the world, I had to function a certain way. And that was the only way that I could live.
So imagine a world, which maybe we're entering into now, where there's this type of book, the transgender child, where parents and administrators and healthcare professionals are taught how to, A, accept whatever exploration their child is going through, and also to support you know, effective parenting to help a child live as their preferred gender. I mean, can you imagine a world in which that's happening? I mean, obviously your parents did the best they could and it was a different time. And
yes,
you know,
a very different time.
It's a very different time. And, you know, but what's compelling to me is, what is this time we're moving into? If parents actually, and healthcare professionals and schools and therapists have this information, talk about, you know, or even just ask the question, do I let my child live their preferred gender, the gender they identify with? Do we reveal this to other people in our lives, their schools, their friends, their, you know, the sports they want to do or extracurricular activities they want to do? And what that child then becomes because of that. I mean, can you fathom how your life would have been different if that had been
your life?
You know,
it's really interesting. About 2 weeks ago, we did this big the Emmy people, the Academy, the Television Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences here, did this big salute to gay, lesbian, and transgender characters on television, and
wow.
they invited. Yeah, oh, it was really smashing and fantastic. And
why did
very
I not
loud.
Know about this?
I don't know, but it was fabulous. And they invited me, and they invited Candace Kane, who's on Dirty Sexy Money. And so we both showed up, and it was a fabulous panel. And it was Bruce Valanche, Billy Crystal, because you know of his role on Soap, mm-hmm. And all kinds of people, somebody from Logo, somebody from Showtime, somebody from HBO. It was fabulous. In this big room, big red carpet. I mean, it was just fantastic. And I got the most brilliant dress, I must tell you. But anyway.
I need pictures, and I want to watch this on YouTube. Why don't they have this where we can watch it?
I'll send you a picture.
Send us a link or a picture.
I will, because Chris Ann wore makeup. And she bought her first pair of heels. It was a special day. But anyway, so we were sitting there and we were talking, and they finally got to Candace and I, and they began to talk about transgender roles on television. And I said, you know, you're looking up here and you see all these gay men, you see all these gay women. Amanda Beers was there from Big Gay Sketch Show, who's a fabulous director and who, of course, was on Married with Children. She gave a wonderful speech about lesbians on television. And I said to this room full of highfalutin people, I said, look, if you look up here, what you see are a myriad of colors and religious backgrounds and sexual orientations. I said, but you see two transgender performers, two. I said, there are probably five, maybe seven in SAG, which is the National Union for Actors. Five. And everybody applauded. And I said, no. Don't applaud that. That's not to be applauded. That's not to be lauded over. We need to be ashamed of that number. Because I'll tell you what's important. What's important is not whether Candace and I keep working. What's important is whether Candace and I can bring up a new generation that keeps working. Because every time Candace and I are on television, every time we do something that's public, there's some female-to-male transsexual or male-to-female transsexual who's 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 years old, sitting in their living room watching TV and going, oh, wow, mommy, daddy, come here. And then the parents come in and they go, oh, well, she looks great and she looks happy and she's working. Well, it can't be all that bad. That's what we need. Mm. We need role models. We need people. We need more people to come out of the closet so that the parents of today, who are probably in their 20s and 30s, I would assume, can make this decision with this wonderful book now that you're talking about, but can make this decision openly and honestly, having actual images in front of them of a happy ending. Mm. That's what's important.
Well, you know, and it's interesting too, because, and I definitely talked to Stephanie about this, you know, and you and I have talked about this, that Oprah is really, you know, because if she speaks, a hell of a lot of people hear it. And,
yeah, that's right.
You know, she has this past year and a half to me really had the conversation between the difference of sexual orientation and gender identity, you know, to the best of her ability for today and now. And it's interesting because she has presented on the stage her very public and viewed stage some of this younger generation of trans men and women. Yeah. And it's one of the things that I think of when I hear this book and I look at this book, and it talks about, you know, if you are encouraging your child, kind of like that wonderful film, La Vie en Rose. I love that film and that mother character in
yummy.
That film. Yeah, that mother character who you kind of know is going to nurture that little boy into his transition to a woman. You know, or at least that's where we are left with that movie, in a loving way that is, you know, opens up the minds and hearts of all the people, you know, that is connected with that child and her love of that child. And so what it makes me think is that we're looking at a time when pre-adolescence, pre-puberty, people are experience their identified self-identified gender, I guess. I guess that's how I would say it at this point. And, you know, Stephanie and I discussed this, how with those questions being asked earlier, because development doesn't happen, you know, for these children in the same way, because now they can halt halt puberty, you know, and affect it. We're dealing with a much different scenario than having to change things that having gone through puberty manifests for a trans person. Mm-hmm. And, you know, less surgeries and just, and a lot of that. What was your experience with, you know, from the time when you decided to transition, when you stopped just, when you actually took those first, I guess, active steps beyond clothing, you know, what was that journey like for you? I mean, did you have any support around it at all?
Oh, no. God, no. Oh, Christ,
no. So you're like driving blind, I guess.
Oh, God, no. No, no. There was nothing. I had nothing. People of my generation, the transgender community of my generation had, you know, the only thing we knew was either, you know, Milton Berle or, you know, eventually later RuPaul, who isn't really transgender, you know, he says that. I'm not saying anything against him. You know, he admits that.
Is your immediate thing like I need to seek estrogen or?
No, I had no idea. I didn't even know it was possible. Here's what happened. At 16, I took an overdose of sleeping pills because I thought, well, this is insane. I can't live like this anymore. And there's no way out. So I'm just going to knock it off. So I took a big handful of Tylenol, actually, and I survived, thank God. And the next day, this is the strangest thing. The next day, I was in my bedroom, and my mother said, "Are you going to go to school today?" And I said, "No, I'm not going." She said, "All right, well, just, you know, relax, watch television. I'll see you later." So she left. I'm watching TV, and this was when Phil Donahue was on, who was a talk show host.
Which we discussed on our interview with Josh Kilmer Purcell, that you all both identified at Phil Donahue.
A good guy. And he had on the cast of The Baton, which is a bar for female impersonators in Chicago, which has been around for years and years and years. And I was sitting there watching it, and I was looking at Leslie Regener, Sherry Payne, and Chili Pepper, who's a fabulous performer and who now is actually a very good friend of mine. And they were sitting there and they were talking and laughing and having a great time. Of course, the audience back then was asking the stupid question, you know, what bathroom do you use and where what do you do with your wonker? You know, all these terrible questions that were just insane. And they were fielding them with such aplomb and such great joy. And I remember this so vividly. I sat up, physically sat up in my bed and went and said this out loud. Well, if they can do it, I can do it.
Wow.
So I searched out The Baton. And this is before the internet, before anything. So I went, I got in my car. This is probably 6 months to a year later. But I got in my car and started driving down to the city and searching for this. It was like I was looking for the Emerald City. I started searching for The Baton, and I stumbled upon a club called Club Victoria, which was sort of the poor man's Baton, a club for female impersonators. And that became my training ground because I met one of my best friends who I lost later to AIDS, most of the girls I lost to HIV during the plague. But before that happened, they became my family. They became my voice. They were my guidance. They were everything. They said, here's this, here's how you do that. Go see this doctor. Here's how you, and they gave me all the gifts that I had been searching for since I can remember. So I got very lucky. I got in with a community.
Yeah,
but it's very different now. I mean, now there's the internet. Now there's support groups in high schools. There's all kinds of things going on that are just it's mind-boggling.
Well, and this new book is definitely a nice and wonderful and needed addition. So I'm really thrilled that Stephanie Brill's here with us today and going to talk to us about the new book, The Transgender Child.
Thank you.
What do you do if your child, even your young toddler, exhibits or expresses that he or she identifies as the opposite sex? Where do you go for answers to questions about your potentially gender-variant child? Well, Stephanie Brill and Rachel Pepper have authored a new book called The Transgender Child, a handbook for families and professionals, after years of exploring just those questions. Stephanie Brill is one of the founders of Gender Spectrum Education and Training, which provides education, resources, and training to create a more gender-sensitive and supportive environment for all children. And she also founded and runs the Children's Hospital Oakland Support Group for parents of gender-variant and transgendered children and teens. So she's a great person to talk about this topic. And also, we're glad to have you on the podcast just to say congrats on the book. Hey, Stephanie, how are you?
Thank you for having me. I'm fantastic, actually. I'm very excited that this book is finally available to the families who need it.
Well, and I see from your history that this has obviously been a topic that you've been passionate about for a while and continuing to excavate information and investigate for answers and solutions. So let's just kind of start at the beginning. What are the signs that your child may be gender variant? And what are the distinctions between just a boy potentially being gay or a young girl potentially being lesbian or straight and just a tomboy? So how do you really clarify these signs that there may be gender variance in your family?
Those are all really good questions because they are the questions that parents ask themselves when they notice that their child is not gender typical. And there comes a line that children cross where parents all of a sudden start wondering, maybe this is more than just a tomboy or a particularly emotionally expressive son of mine, but maybe there's something else going on. And then it's a parent's job to try to figure out what is happening. And that's where it gets confusing for most people who are not gender experts. They're simply trying to parent. So gender variant children are not transgender kids. They have varying degrees of atypical expression and self-presentation, but it's actually primarily their social gender that's nonconforming, rather than their internal sense of who they are.
What do you mean by that? Give me an example.
Yeah. What I mean is, like a boy who likes to play with dolls, for example, which we consider to be feminine behavior at this point in time in our society, or a boy who likes to have long hair and perhaps wear flowing clothes, dresses, flower prints, has a flair for how they use style. Those kids are gender variant, so how they are expressing themselves in the outside world is not seen as typical for being a boy. But they aren't. That same child is not necessarily saying, I'm really a girl. I'm a girl, Mom. Dad, listen to me, please. I'm really a girl. What they're saying is, please let me dress and play however I want to. Mm. Now, that's a difference, and that doesn't necessarily reflect that that child is going to be gay either, because gender variance is not necessarily an indication of sexual orientation. It is true that many lesbian and gay adults reflect on their childhood and their adulthood as having experienced atypical gender expression. In other words, that they themselves are gender variant, but there are plenty of lesbian and gay adults who are not gender variant and did not experience childhood in any gender variant way. So gender variance is not a marker for sexual orientation per se. It may indicate that, but once again, a young child, a child under, say, 8 years old, we're not sure what they're expressing, what part of themselves, because their sexual orientation hasn't necessarily been revealed by that point. On the other hand, there are some children who are actually transgender, and what that means is that, well, a person's gender identity is their deeply held internal sense of being male or female. A transgender person's gender identity, once again, their internal sense of being male or female, differs from their anatomy. So a child, frequently the children that I work with and the families that I work with who are raising children, their children start expressing who they are in terms of their gender, just like any other child does, at 18 months, 2 years, or 3 years old, which is age appropriate. You start speaking about whether you're a boy or a girl, but for kids who are transgender or kids who have two genders, some kids feel like they're both and some kids feel like they're neither, that also is age appropriately expressed when they are just learning to talk about themselves. And so it becomes confusing for a parent to try to figure out what's going on with my child. Is my child really transgender? Are they gay? Is my child gender variant? And that's why we wrote this book, is to really help give some guidelines and signposts for parents and professionals who are working with kids who are not typical in the expected gender presentation, to help them define what is going on for the child and then how to best support them. Because none of these things indicate a problem per se, but they do require different approaches to parenting to support the child as best as possible.
Well, and I think what we're used to is just that in the past, there hasn't been a book like yours, and that maybe there aren't even healthcare providers or therapists to work with families. And so parents just impress upon their kids the gender they see their child as, and that can feel oppressive or suppressive to that child. But your book indicates a way in which the whole exploration can kind of come out of the closet, if you will. How does that process start? And obviously, things reveal themselves more and more as the child goes from childhood into adolescence. Can you talk about that progression?
Absolutely. I will discuss that in terms of the transgender child. So there
Right.
are a few times at which a transgender child's gender identity comes to the forefront more strongly that I've noticed, almost developmental ages when this might arise. Many of us know transgender people who are adults who went through a gender transition in adulthood. But what we're talking about in this book are children who, from the time that they are young, are expressing a cross-gendered identity or a transgender identity, and how do parents work with that? So the first time frame when this is very common for children is, as I referenced before, when they're toddlers, when they're first learning to speak. And, of course, many parents say, well, when my child was three, my child thought that they were a cat. You know, how can your child truly know what their gender is? Well, your child who thinks they're a cat doesn't think they're a cat day in, day out, day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. There comes a time when something is clearly not a phase, and the parents at that point in time start recognizing, okay, something much more significant is going on here. Because from a very young age, all children know and express their gender in ways that feel right for them. And that's the same is true for transgender children. So there are some families who, after having a child who from the time they can talk has consistently and persistently asserted that they're cross-gender, have realized that after 3 or 4 years of their child asserting this and the parents having a progression of what felt comfortable, most comfortable for them, you know, as you say, trying to rein it in a little bit, trying to tell them that actually that isn't the case, using the best information that they had available to them, they're recognizing that their children are suffering. Because the truth of the matter is, I have seen children as young as 4, 5, and 6 become extremely unhappy and depressed and even suicidal if they're not permitted to express their true gender.
Mm.
And that is usually what motivates parents into thinking, okay, something here has to change. My child needs to be able to want to live, to be able to see a future that is positive. What do I need to do? And so at that point in time, parents, in tandem with other care providers, so therapists and pediatricians, are allowing their children to transition. That's the word that we have, which simply indicates allowing a child to live in the gender that is their authentic gender. It may not reflect their body, but to allow them to live in the outside world in accordance with who they feel themselves to be on the inside. And what's remarkable is that story after story after story, parents say it's like their child has had a black cloud lifted from their heart and mind. This child who had become suicidal, withdrawn, no longer speaking to anyone in school, muttering one-word sentences in response to every question, now comes out, engages in schoolwork, has friends, becomes much more of an extrovert, all from being allowed to be authenticated for who they are. But it's a scary thing to do as a parent, because society, as you say, doesn't really understand this yet. This is the first book of its kind. that actually addresses these unique and varied challenges that actually thousands of families are facing every day raising children who step outside of this so-called pink or blue gender box. But there haven't been any consolidated resources available for these families.
So what are these, I mean, what is asked of these families, you know, there has to be a bit of a mourning process. There has to be, you know, how do they explain what's going on with their child with the schools and with other family yeah. members? I mean, this must be a lot of an undertaking and a lot of support needed.
It's actually huge because, as you can imagine, whether that child, you know, who I just referenced, you know, who may go through a gender transition at age 5 has one set of issues. It may be different socially for a child who is 10 or a child who is 15, but the parental process is pretty much the same. There's a time of coming to acceptance and coming to terms with this as being true. And with that often comes a sense of grief and loss for the child you thought you were raising, as well as a wonderful, like, newness and excitement about this new child you're getting, while even though it's the same person, which is very strange, while at the same time being very concerned about how do you speak to others, how do you keep your child safe? What is the most effective way of parenting this child through these challenges, and how do you work with the school? All these things that you've been discussing, we lay out in our book sort of really a chapter on each of those subjects because they're very universally experienced challenges that a family raising a transgender child faces. Because in order for a child to safely undergo a gender transition, the school needs to be educated. The other environments where a child walks, whether that's the church or camp or before school care or after school care, everybody needs education to understand more deeply about gender diversity and to become a more accepting environment for this child to be safe so that the child is not being subjected to unwarranted, uneducated bigotry and ridicule.
Well, and as you said, we all know people who have transitioned later in life, but this is truly the new frontier, I mean, I think, in the GLBT community. And we saw it this past year as even on a show that gets millions and millions of viewers, as Oprah kind of really tried to discuss the difference between sexual orientation and gender identity. And she did it many times in the past 12 months. I mean, I think really kind of hammering in this distinction. And the surprise was, as we look at the trans community through this new modern 2008 Oprah eyes, she had representations of very young trans male and females on the show, which is very different, you know, than what we're used to, those of us
absolutely
from the Phil Donahue days, or even, you know, even from 5-10 years ago. You know, we would have been looking at people who were married, or we would be looking at different stories.
Yeah.
So one of the big questions that I had through this is, and I'm sure your book explores it and answers it, is when now, I mean, with the process of adolescence, with the process of exploring hormones, with all of the options for the medical aspects of full transitioning or partial transitioning or whatever is going to happen for a child, what is the new information that is out there, and how do people go about educating themselves onto what choices they have for their child?
Well, what's really exciting is that we have actually consolidated all that information in our book, which is the first time it's been consolidated anywhere. We've worked with the leading endocrinologists in the United States who are providing healthcare for transgender and gender variant adolescents and teens. And it's very exciting because to have it in one place, and we've broken it out. I'm also a midwife, so I'm a healthcare provider, and I have spent a lot of my adult life learning how to communicate about complicated medical issues in a way that someone without a medical background can truly understand. And so our delivery of this fairly complicated set of options and opportunities are laid out, both the medical information, but also a clear, self-reflective conversation with oneself is deeply encouraged through this book. Because as you can imagine, if a parent is raising a child who's transgender or gender variant and has had none or little exposure to transgender people prior to raising this child, many parents erroneously assume that the ultimate goal for this child will be to have them simply go through a gender transition and then be invisible to the world as a transgender person, and that their business is done, their child is complete, and all is well. But actually, and that involves surgical...
Reassignment
surgery. Now, the truth of the matter is many transgender people do not choose to have surgical reassignment of their bodies for a variety of reasons. And in fact, a lot of these teens who now have these options that adult transgender people never had, in other words, they can actually take medicine to stop the puberty that their body would ordinarily go through biologically. So they can take medicine that pushes the pause button on their hormones before, for example, a male body grows taller and bones spread and the voice deepens and the male hair growth patterns come, can push the pause button and then deliver an increase in estrogen to female levels to that same body. So that body of this girl who has male anatomy will then develop breasts along with her other peers, will never develop facial hair, will never have a lowered voice or an Adam's apple, will develop fat, you know, in the places that females do along their hips and thighs, and for all intents and purposes will be perceived as female in the body everywhere except the genitals. And this is something that transgender people have never had the opportunity to have before. It's always been post-pubertal changes, you know, and so which have required the discussion of so many surgeries that perhaps will actually be completely irrelevant to this new generation of transgender children as they become adults. Now, of course, some will continue to choose to have genital reconstruction surgery, but some will not, and that will not impact how they are perceived by others.
It creates an invisibility more so, though, I think, for people who are able to do exactly what you just said.
It does, which has, you know, its pros and cons to it, honestly. It's a very complex subject and one that I really encourage parents to explore so deeply, because the goal is not necessarily invisibility. To me, there is one goal, and that goal is happy, well-adjusted children who turn into happy, well-adjusted adults. And what that looks like is actually individualized. Each person has a different answer for what makes them happy. And for some, it may be, invisibility may be a component of that, but many parents have thought that that's what the end goal is. Of course, they'd never say, and they don't. They do believe that the end goal is happiness for their child, but I always want parents to really pause and realize that we don't know what that means in terms of their physicality. We need to take each step very carefully and really listen to the children as they age about what's right for their bodies and help them at each step to make appropriate decisions. And some decisions may not be age appropriate until adulthood.
You know, it's interesting because obviously with the murder of Larry King and some other stories that we have seen, Simi Wilkins in Florida, you talk about, you know, parents just want to keep their kids safe.
Yeah.
And we continue to have this in the news. You know, obviously I think the time has come that the transgender community is gaining remarkable visibility, in a new way. What are some of the legal aspects that parents need to know, and does your book really discuss that about safety and how to explore those questions as well?
Absolutely. We have an entire chapter dedicated to the legal issues that parents and children will face while under 18 around their gender identity and gender expression. And some of the things that come up are not what the adult mind would think about. For example, when your child wants to play competitive sports at age 10 and wants to just join the soccer league down the street, but they need a birth certificate. And your child may be living full-time as a male, but have female anatomy, and on the birth certificate it says female. How do you handle this? What do you need to do? In that case, you actually need a notarized, ideally you need a notarized letter from your pediatrician explaining the situation and explaining the confidentiality element of the situation, because some children are very private about their transgender identity and are just living life as a regular kid, perceived to be the gender they perceive themselves to be, and no one knows what's in their underwear because it's not anyone's business. But it comes up on a daily basis in these unexpected ways, such as signing up for sports, signing up for camp. What happens with public school registration and birth certificates? What are your legal rights as a parent and your child's legal rights in terms of confidentiality and respect for your child's gender identity and gender expression? And so, and that varies somewhat state to state, but overall, it's just really about being a parent who has been informed of what the rights are and how to advocate for your child. Because when your child is still young, under 18, one of the best things that you can do, of course, the most important thing that you can do as a parent, is to love and accept them and allow them to be who they are and encourage them and support them in terms of their self-esteem, feed them lots and lots of love. But the next thing that you can do that is so important is to be their ally and to work on the, and their advocate and to work on their behalf and to not expect them to have to fight all the battles of ignorance on their own, but to do the work of going to the school ahead of time, to sign them up for camp and well in advance so that the camp can have training. I'm doing a lot of training for camps this week. You know, I live in the Bay Area, and there are quite a few children out there who are either transgender or just not typically gendered, and their parents want to make sure that they have a great camp experience regardless.
Well, what a great ally and advocate you and Rachel Pepper are for these families and for these children. The book is called The Transgender Child, a handbook for families and professionals. Definitely, if you're a healthcare professional or are connected with facilities, this is a great book to have on your shelf. Also, if this is affecting your family or a family that you know, a great book to pass on. It is available now through websites and bookstores. Obviously, go to your local GLBT bookstore if you can and support those. And another great resource online is genderspectrum.org. That is the organization that Stephanie is one of the founders of, and there is lots of information there, plus information on the book. Genderspectrum.org will be linked on our show notes. And Stephanie, thank you so much for being on with us today. What a great book, and what a great new resource for many, many people.
Thank you so much for having me.
I am sure many trans people are going, why was this not around when I was a kid? But they won't have to say that long, because now it's here.
Exactly. And that's what we're changing the world for the next generation.
Hi there. I'm Proud FM's Deb Pierce, Toronto's official queer respondent. I'll be keeping you plugged into what's hot in Toronto this summer. Toronto's patio season is upon us, and that means Pride Week isn't that far away. Come join me and a million other people for Unified the week of June 20th to 29th. It promises to be one of the best prides ever, with headliner Sandra Bernhard and Spice Girl Melanie C already confirmed to perform. Look for me in Chicago on Friday, June 13th at Gay Idol at Circuit Nightclub. Visit www.torontotourism.com to find out why you should be heading to Toronto this summer. Hope to see you soon.
Alex, it's been great having you on. I know that you are not going to be on with us in the month of July. You are traveling. You're heading to Romania to find Nadia Comăneci.
I am, and I hope to find her, because she's been lost for a very long time. Hope she's still not on that balance beam, because that would be sad.
That would be sad. And that little white outfit with the yellow stripe and the red stripe and the blue stripe.
Like if she were just mummified or something, just with her hand out, you know, like that, with her theme playing in her mind.
Nadia's theme.
His theme.
Have you been to Europe?
I've never been out of the United States, Amy.
Are you excited? Are you scared?
absolutely terrified. You could prick me with a pin and I'd go flying around the room.
Well, I'm, you know, you can email me and we can talk via Skype and we can do that for free.
Skype. Well, I may do that because I'm really freaking fracking scared.
Well, you know, you'll have Fresno and then you'll have Romania. That's how it goes down in your world.
Is that how it works? No, that's how it works in my world, baby. That's how I roll.
That's how you roll. And rolling into your position will probably be Mitchell Fain, who will be coming back from the Mediterranean. So it'll be fun to have him. And then you will be back with us in August when you are hopefully back here in Chicagoland.
Yay!
So have safe travels. Thank you so much for being on with us.
Thank you, Amy Matheny. I love you.
I love you, too.
We are so magical. Soft skin, red lips, so...
Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This program is brought to you in part by Bud Light. Bud Light keeps it coming. Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, Amy Wooten, news editor, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast. Queer and now.